All right, good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel at the Bijou. Is this great or what? I love it. For those of you visiting, we're glad you're with us. We gather together every year at the Bijou, or at least we have for the past 4 or 5 years, so we can get all the body of Christ together from Calvary Chapel. So look around, guys. You can see everybody at one time, so praise the Lord. It's good to see you guys. You know, of all the religions that gather together in the world and all the religions that do their religious thing, there's only one that comes together to celebrate the resurrection of their Lord, and that's us guys, the Christians. Because you see, nobody else has resurrected from the dead but Jesus Christ, and He alone is the way and the truth and the life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to take a journey today, kind of an act one, act two, part one, part two type approach, because we're going to start looking at the resurrection of the Lord, and then we're going to see the scene in heaven. We're going to see it on earth, and we're going to see the scene in heaven as well. So Matthew 28, verse 1, let's read together and then we'll pray. Notice what it says. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed that he is going before you into Galilee, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we stand together, Lord. We sit together, we gather together to celebrate the fact that you, Lord, have resurrected from the dead. And Lord, even as we said at the very beginning, there is no other religion on earth that comes together to celebrate the resurrection of their leader. Because there's been no other man that's resurrected himself from the dead but you, proving that you were God, proving that you were the truth, proving that you were the way. No one else can make that claim. And so we gather together today, Lord, to celebrate that very fact. Father, I pray that you would move in our hearts this morning, not only the believers. I pray for us that we would just rejoice in what you've done for us as we, again, Lord, see your resurrection and see your possession of the earth in heaven. But God, I pray if there's any here today that don't know you and they've not given their life to you, that before they leave this place, Lord, they will make that commitment to know you and to rejoice in you the way we do as well. So, Lord, I pray you pour out your spirit and I pray you minister to your flock in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled today, "We Are His Indeed," because that's exactly what we're going to be seeing today. We're going to celebrate the resurrection, or as we celebrate the resurrection from the dead, we not only celebrate the Lord's resurrection, but guys, note this, we celebrate the fact that we're resurrecting as well. Did you realize that? Now, I know you realize that, but did you think about celebrating the fact that we're celebrating the resurrection of ourselves? Yes, we look to the Lord. He's the one that led the way. But if Jesus just resurrected and we weren't going to resurrect, then what would we celebrate? The fact that we have 70, 80, 90 years and then we die? No, we celebrate because he resurrected and we're going to resurrect as well. You see, there's two things that had to take place for us to be eternally in heaven with the Lord. Number one is, Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. That's great. Our sins are forgiven. But beyond that, he had to resurrect from the dead so that we can resurrect. Because if the Lord didn't resurrect from the dead, then we would simply die forgiven and not have heaven. And I don't know about you guys, but that wouldn't be too encouraging to me. I want to know that when I die, I'm forgiven. But not only I'm forgiven, I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to be forever with the Lord. That's exactly what we celebrate today in the resurrection of the Lord. But it's also the type of resurrection that we celebrate over. Because notice this, it's not just a resurrection unto eternity, but it's a resurrection unto eternal life. Now, why is this an important distinction? Now, note this. The Bible says that everyone will be resurrected one day. Note that. Everyone in here. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ or whether you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says one day every single person that has ever existed will be resurrected. The question is, what will they be resurrected to? Will they be resurrected to eternal life? Or will they be resurrected to eternal death? Because the scripture declares it's going to be one or the other. Jesus said this in John 5, 28 and 29. He said, "For the hour is coming," note this, "in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." Notice that. How many people will hear the voice of the Lord when he shouts and tells everyone to come forward? All. That's right. Notice he goes on and says this, "Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So you see, the Bible declares that all of us will be resurrected. What we want to make sure of is when we are resurrected, it is unto eternal life. And how do we do that? Well, by making sure that we put our faith for eternal life in Jesus the Christ and what he's done on the cross. And then we can rest assured that when we're resurrected, we're going to be in the right place. You know, it's one thing to think about dying and think, well, what's going to happen after this? It's another thing to realize that we're going to live forever. And in that resurrection, it means we get our new body. And then when we stand in that new body before the Lord, depending on what we've done with Jesus Christ, will determine whether or not we go to heaven or whether or not we go to hell. And so why do we rejoice today? Well, we rejoice for two reasons. One, that we're forgiven, but we also rejoice because we are going to be resurrected unto eternal life with the Lord himself. Scripture tells us that on the cross, Jesus purchased mankind. That's where the purchase was paid. Each one of us in here were paid for when he went to the cross. And that's great news. But now after Jesus paid for the cross, he still had to take the title deed in his hand. And if you remember, we've been looking in the book of Revelation about the Lord taking the title deed. That is, he's paid for it on the earth, but the Lord has to now receive that payment. He has to take what he owns. It'd be like buying your house or buying a car or buying whatever you buy. It's one thing to make the deal, but you've got to go and get the title deed. You've got to grab that title deed. And the good news is that the Lord has purchased you as his own personal property. Did you know that you're owned today and someone owns you? You might think, hey, that doesn't sound like good news. I want to be free. No, you are free in Christ. But because he's made you free in him, you now belong to him. You're his property. And here's the exciting thing in the world we live in today and in the economy we live in today. The Lord will never default and he will never go bankrupt. He can't lose you. You're his. You've given your life to him. And now the Lord has you forever. That's exciting news. And that brings up another question, because since the Lord owns us, I want to challenge us this morning. Are we living like those owned by the Lord? How are you living this morning? How are you living your life for the Lord? Are you living it like it's your own life, like it belongs to you? Or are you living it like it belongs to the Lord? Well, see, God is gracious enough to let us live our life for ourselves if we want. But here's the problem. If we live our life for ourselves, we'll never be fulfilled. We'll never understand what our purpose was. And so because of that, it behooves us to live our life for the Lord and to give ourselves completely to him. Now, as I said today, it's going to be in two acts. Don't worry, it won't be that long. But act one, we just read. And that is the morning of the resurrection. They ran to the tomb. They found out that the tomb was empty. The women went back and told the disciples. And you know the story. They didn't believe at first. And then the Lord appeared to them and said, "I have indeed risen from the dead." And they believed. But then after they believed, the Lord again ministered to them another 40 days on the earth. And then after that 40 days on the earth, the Bible says the Lord ascended back up into heaven. Now, act one or part one was the fact of what we do today in celebrating the resurrection. Jesus is alive and he's resurrected from the dead. Now we see act two in heaven. And that's where we take up in the book of Revelation chapter 5. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 5. And believe it or not, because of how God worked this out, we're going to be able to work right on in the book of Revelation, even as we celebrate his resurrection. Because as I said, not only does he have the title deed, we are his indeed. And now we will see the Lord take this title deed from the hand of the Father. Notice there in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose the seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals.'" And that's where we left off last week. John weeping, saying, "How will mankind be saved? I saw it on earth. I was there. I was at the cross," John could say. And it's kind of neat because John is the one who saw the crucifixion and then was there with the Lord. And John was one of the two that ran to the tomb to see that the Lord had resurrected. So it's kind of neat to me that even as John was there, the Lord now lets John see this vision of the second act of this in heaven. Purchased on earth, now the deed received in heaven. And that's where we take up in verse 6. And notice it says, "And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Note that. I have that underlined. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, notice, first of all, here that John had been weeping just the verse before. John had been weeping before the Lord, weeping in himself at the situation that he was in. And now from one verse to the next verse, from verse 5 to verse 6, John goes from weeping to rejoicing. Guys, what was the difference in that? The only difference in John going from weeping to rejoicing was he looked to the throne. Some of you this morning may be weeping. Some of you this morning may have been weeping just this past week. Some of you may be weeping today for whatever the reason in your personal lives. As I heard one share just this week, some of you may be weeping because maybe it was this time of year that you lost a loved one. But you know what? If there's ever a time of year to rejoice, even if you lost a loved one at this time of year and it brings back all those memories, what a time for the Lord to take home your loved one, the time when we celebrate resurrection. Don't you see? The one that you loved, you're going to see again. Those in Christ will be resurrected unto that day. And so it's a time of rejoicing. And so John goes from weeping into a time of rejoicing because he simply looked to the throne. And this is my encouragement to you this morning. I want you to look to the throne. If you're weeping, whatever your situation is in your life, I don't know your circumstances. I know that we as a nation are going through a lot right now. I know that individuals are going through a lot right now. And so it's not just a celebration of the Lord's resurrection. We have to start recognizing what lies ahead and the hope that we have ahead in Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on the throne. If you've had your eyes other places, it's time now to focus them back this morning, because this is what worked for John when it came to getting John into that area of rejoicing that he needed to be. Everything changed. But notice also it says here that he had seven horns and seven eyes that were the Spirit of God in all the earth. Now, again, seven in Scriptures, you know, is the number of completeness. Horns represent strength, and eyes represent the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the reason that everything changes when we look to the Lord, guys. It's because we realize that He has complete strength, He has complete power, and He can handle any situation that we're in. What is your situation this morning? I don't know what your situation is, but I know that He's alive. I know that He had the power to resurrect. I know that He's complete in His power. He's complete in His strength. He's complete in His spirit. And He can do completely in your life what needs to be done this morning if you'll simply get your eyes to Him and look toward the throne. But this is amazing to me too here. Notice it says in the verse, He saw Him as a lamb that had been slain. I told you I had that underlined. You ever wonder what it's going to be like the first time we see the Lord? I imagine all kinds of things. I can only imagine. We all know the song, right? What we're going to do when we see Him. But do we ever imagine what He's really going to look like? I know we can read Revelation, and we read about the Lord looked this way, and His hair was as white, you know, as this, and all these different images it gives us in the Scripture. But have you ever thought about the fact that He was going to appear as a lamb that was slain? You see, because of this Scripture here, it appears that the Lord is going to still bear the scars of the cross. When He resurrected from the dead, what did He say to Thomas? He said, "See my hands and see my feet. See the scars. Put your hand in my side." And now John sees the Lord as a lamb that was slain. I think some of us may be shocked. Yes, He's going to be in glory. But we're going to see that the Lord, I believe, will still bear the scars in His hands, the scars in His feet, the scar in His side from which the blood came out and His bride was born, which is where the Lord gives the bride anyway, isn't it? When Adam was given a bride, she came from His side. And now the church, His bride, was born from the side. I think we may be surprised by what we see when we see the Lord for the first time, not realizing that He's going to be like a lamb that was slain. Why would He do this? Maybe an eternal reminder for what He's done. You know, husbands, we give our wives a ring as a reminder. Maybe the Lord's ring as a reminder will be the scars that He bears. But notice there in verse 7, it says, "Then He came and He took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saint." Now notice here first in verse 7, interesting dilemma for those who say there's no Trinity in the Scripture, because right here we see Jesus with the seven spirits of God, the Son, taking the scroll from the Father. The whole picture of the Trinity right there in front of us. And as the Lord takes the scroll, notice what happens. All the elders and all those in heaven bow down before the Lord, and they bow down with their harps, and they bow down with golden bowls full of incense. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Hey, when I get to heaven, I don't want to play a harp. Well, good news. That word harp there really would probably be better translated today, guitar, because it speaks of an instrument with strings. And so it's probably not at all the kind of harp that you're thinking about. Again, nothing to harp on. But again, notice here beyond that, that's just to make sure that you're listening to me. I can't tell because the light here, I can't always see you guys real good. So I'm going to make sure that I'm making a connection and they're listening. That lets me know you're getting my corny joke, so you're listening. But notice what the Lord does here in verse 8. Notice he officially takes the title deed. Now remember the resurrection. What we celebrate today, we said the Lord paid for it on the cross and then resurrected from the dead, but he didn't have the title deed in hand. Now the Lord gets the title deed. He ascended back to heaven, and now he goes to the Father. The title deed to the earth in the Father's hand, as we covered last week, he takes that title deed from the Lord, from the Father, and now he officially accepts it as his. And when he officially accepts it, notice this uncontrollable worship that takes place. And guys, that is what true worship of the Lord is. True worship of the Lord, when it happens, is uncontrollable. And why is it uncontrollable? Because there's a realization of what it is that Jesus Christ has truly done for us. And if we truly realize what this day represents and what the Lord has done for us, we're going to be worshiping the Lord. Amen? That's part of it. That's just how it works. Again, they worship the Lord. They fall down and worship him. But notice this also. Not only did they have the instruments. Guys, this is amazing to me. I want to encourage you with this. Notice secondly, not only they had the instruments, but secondly, notice they had golden bowls full of the prayers of the believers that smelled like incense. Bowls of incense, the Bible says, that were the prayers of the believers. Are you believers? If you are, note this. Ever think that God doesn't hear your prayers or that maybe your prayers are not that important? Guys, he keeps them in golden bowls in heaven, and they have a glorious scent of incense. Now, I don't know how many golden bowls you have in your house, but whatever golden bowls you have in your house, that would be the thing you would want to put the most valuable treasures in. Never think that your prayers are not important to the Lord. Never think that God doesn't listen to your prayers, because right now, imagine this in your mind. Here's the scene. We've left the earth. We're celebrating the resurrection. Now we're in heaven. John, with all of us, will be there. By the way, did you know you're going to be there when this happens? Because this is a future prophetic event. You're going to be standing there watching the Lord go and take the scroll. And you're going to see the scroll. And you're going to see all these bowls in heaven. What's it going to look like? I don't know. But there's going to be bowls up there. They're going to have your name on it. There's going to be bowls with your prayers before the throne. And right now in heaven, there are bowls with your prayers before the throne in heaven. And this is an amazing thing to me, to think that God treasures my prayers so much that he puts them in golden bowls and gives them the incense of fragrance, this beautiful incense before his throne. Why would God do this? And begin, because he loves us. And he cherishes us, and God cherishes our relationship, and he cherishes our prayer time with him. God puts it in the special bowls here. Now, you might say, well, if God cherishes it so much, then why does God wait so long to answer, Mark? Why does he wait so long? Sometimes the Lord does, and I don't know all the reasons. Sometimes the Lord wants us to make us wait. But here's something that hit me as I was looking over this week that really struck me heavy, and that is this. Maybe the Lord is waiting for our bowl to get full. Are you praying your bowls in heaven full? Or is you're sitting up there with a little trickle that you have to swirl to even see anything's in it? You see, here's what I believe. I believe that every time we go to our prayer closet, a little bit more is poured into our golden bowl. And we go back to the prayer closet, a little bit more is poured into that golden bowl of prayer. We go back to the prayer closet, a little bit more is poured into that bowl. And I don't know about you guys, but I want my bowls in heaven running over. As a matter of fact, I want my bowls in heaven so full that the Lord will have to get up and clean up the mess. Then I'll know he'll answer my prayer. How full is your bowl? You might say, my cup is full. Lord, my cup is full because you lived and died for me, and now I'm alive because of you. Let me ask you this. Your cup is full. How about your bowl? And guys, if you're not having your prayers answered, what I would say is, are you filling up your bowl so that God can answer it? And this is a beautiful thing to me. Mark, how do we fill the bowls up? Remember Jesus said, ask and keep asking, seek and keep knocking, knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking, ask and keep asking. In the language there, it means to do it over and over and over. And I get this picture of every time we go and we pray. When you guys prayed this morning, when you guys pray today, when you say, Lord, have mercy on my family and friends, whoever it is that maybe you know that doesn't know the Lord, a little bit more goes in that bowl. And one day God's going to take that bowl and say, full. This bowl is full. It's time to move. Maybe today is your day. Maybe someone's been praying for you and you're here today. You don't know the Lord. You've never given your life. And year after year, you've gone to Easter services. Maybe it's the first time you've been to one at the Bijou. I don't know. But year after year you go, and maybe, you know, it's the only time you go. I don't know what your story is. We all come from different backgrounds. I know that until I gave my life to the Lord, it didn't really mean much of anything to me except for maybe some bunnies and, you know, whatever. Some candy that morning. But it means a lot more now to the believer. And some of you have bowls that are before the throne of God right now where your family and friends have been praying for you. And God is saying, this morning I'm going to pour that bowl out, and I'm going to touch your heart, and it's time for you to receive Christ. This may be your morning. I don't know. Is your bowl full? But I know this, as believers, we need to be filling up the bowls and not growing weary of filling up the bowls of the Lord. Notice there in verse 9, after the bowls were before the throne, it says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Again, this verse is loaded. Notice, first of all, it says here that he was declared worthy to purchase us back because he gave his own perfect blood to do it. But notice, secondly, it says who he gave his blood for. Guys, this is key. Did the Lord just give his blood for America? Are we the only ones that can accept the cross and accept the blood of Jesus from the cross? Not at all. As a matter of fact, notice this. He says from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, for everyone. And you might say, well, the Lord couldn't have died for me. You don't know my past. You don't know my background. He died for you. But now your job is to receive that death. Your job is to confess your sin and say, Lord, I give my life. If you do that, the Bible says you'll be forgiven and you'll be cleansed and you'll be watching this whole scene in heaven with us when the time comes. You know, from time to time, I hear people say, how dare you be so arrogant to push your religion on other people or to try to say that Christianity should go to other nations? Guys, that's not arrogance. That's love. And that's the hope of the nations. Jesus Christ is the hope of the nations, the one who died for every tribe, every tongue, every people. His door is open to all. Our job is simply to proclaim it, and then our job is to receive it. And so he declares, you're the one for every nation, for everyone. Notice verse 10, and you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, notice the good news doesn't stop with the fact that he purchased us back to God. Notice it says he's made us kings and priests. Guys, I know most of you know this. You know that you're kings and priests. But have you really ever just kind of meditated on that? You're a king and a priest unto God. It's interesting. There's a big stink right now, I guess. Or I guess you'd say excitement, however you want to say it, in England about Prince William. And the fact that they're about to have a new marriage over there. And one day he will be the king. And I start thinking, wow, he's going to be the king. And he'll be the king of England. But you know what that means in England? Basically nothing. It means you're famous and you're called the king, but what real power does he have? What real authority does he have? Really very little, if any. But note this, there may not be a wedding and there may not be a day for you coming real soon where you're going to be declared some king down here on earth, but there is a day in heaven where we're going to be there around the throne when the Lord takes that scroll and all the myriads of believers throughout the centuries are going to be there. They're going to be saved and they're going to be shouting. And each one of you in this room who know Jesus Christ are going to be declared a king and a priest unto God. Now that's exciting news. It's not just the fact that we're saved. He gives us more than that. The Lord gives us reward after that. So the real kings will have real authority, real power, and will rule and reign with the Lord on the earth for 1,000 years. You think, well, it doesn't get much better than that. It's going to get better throughout eternity. And notice in John says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Again, notice all the believers throughout the centuries, all the angels, all everyone, they're praising the Lord. I was trying to imagine what that roar would be like. Can you imagine? I can't even in my mind think of the loudest crowd you've ever heard. And now imagine the roar when everyone begins to bow down to the Lord and see that he's purchased back mankind, he's purchased back the earth and it belongs to him. And this roar rings out through heaven. That's going to be the scene here that we see. And it's interesting, although the gate is narrow, Jesus said, there's obviously enough to get in to fill that place up with praising. And maybe this morning, one of those is you. Maybe this morning is your moment to join in with that. And again, in a moment, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. But notice what they said with a loud voice, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Notice, not only is he worthy to take the scroll and take ownership of the earth, here are the other things he's worthy of. He's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is what our God is. This is who our God is. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Notice this. Every creature now in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, will praise him and give glory at this point, even the sea creatures. Even everything, every creature on earth now will be giving praise and glory to the Lord. You know, even nature gives praise and glory to the Lord. Again, the trees, as they grow, they reach up to heaven, don't they? As the waves come in from the ocean, they bow down one after another, bowing down unto the Lord. And so all of creation is going to be praising the Lord and giving Him praise. What an exciting scene this is going to be. And so there we are with all of creation, everyone bowing down, blessing and honor and glory. And notice verse 14, then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and they worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Lastly, we see all the host of heaven falling down and giving Him praise and worship for who He is and what He's done. And we're going to finish the same way today, giving the Lord praise and glory. As we finish today, as we look at the resurrection of the Lord, the fact that they ran to the tomb was empty. And they went back and told the disciples. Notice the first thing that happened when they ran back and told the disciples was, you know what? I don't know that I believe. I'm glad to hear that you believe. I'm glad that's worked for you. But I don't know that I believe. I don't know that it really works for me. And it wasn't until others even came and once again they witnessed. A second round came and they began to witness and began to share. Even then, they still didn't believe. Remember the two that came up from the road to Emmaus? And they still didn't believe them. And the women came, and the women said, He's risen from the dead. And they said, You're just hysterical, emotional women. We don't believe you. And guys, it wasn't until the Lord Jesus Himself entered the room. And when He entered the room, His presence filled the room. And the Lord said, Peace. And He said, I am here. And He said, Believe in Me. And He rebuked their unbelief. Why did He rebuke their unbelief? Because all the evidence had been there for them to believe and to see that it was true. Here's what I challenge you with today. I know that many of us in here are believers. We do believe. We've already given our life to the Lord. But undoubtedly, there are some of you here today that have never done that. You've never given your life to the Lord. You've never really made that commitment. And I want to take just a moment to give you an opportunity to do that, just to search your heart. Because this is more than just a day we gather together to say, all right, let's celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. That's great. We celebrate it. We're believers. We believe that He died for us on the cross and that He spilled His blood. And by that blood, we're saved. We believe that. And we believe that He rose 3 days later, even as He said He would rise. And today we celebrate that. And that's what we've been looking at all this week. But guys, it doesn't do us any good if we don't make it our own. Listen, here's my appeal to you this morning. I'm no evangelist. God has called me to teach the Word. And yet even someone who's called to be a teacher of the Word, the Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. And whenever we gather together like this, and I know that there's probably some that have never given their life to the Lord, I would be remiss before God not to give you that opportunity. Here's my challenge. Has the world really satisfied you? Are you really fulfilled? Is the marriage everything you dreamed it would be? Have the kids turned out exactly as you wanted them to turn out? What about the job? Has the job fulfilled your heart? You say, you know what? I need nothing else. I've got everything I need. I'm fulfilled in this job. Maybe you started looking to other things. You started trying to find things that would fulfill you. Maybe buying things, or maybe some of you looked into some of the pleasures of the world. Whatever the case might be, you're not satisfied, are you? You're not satisfied. And here's why you're not satisfied. The Bible says you were created for God. That's why you exist. We're not here just to be people on this earth. We have a purpose and we have a reason. And the Bible says we exist to serve Him and to love Him and to honor Him and to give our life to Him. Are you serving Him? Are you honoring Him? Are you loving Him? Have you given your life to Him? If you're not fulfilled, that's why. Your heart is empty. I want to give you that opportunity to fill that heart. How do I do that, Mark? Listen, this is all you do. We're not going to do an altar call. I'm not going to ask you to walk down here, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray with you. And if you want to pray this prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to receive Him. Maybe your bowl in heaven is full. You say, but Mark, I haven't been praying. I don't even know Him. No, the bowl that someone else has been praying for you. Some of you right now have bowls in front of heaven that have Dad written on them. Some of you have bowls that say Mom and the kids and my friend. And they're bowls you've been praying for a long time. And those bowls have been filling up and God has heard your prayers. And maybe this morning there's some of you that God has been the bowl has been filling up by people you didn't even know, people that you did know. They had you on prayer chains. They were doing all kinds of things. But right now your heart is being stirred and you're saying, I realize that God is calling me. Do you hear the voice of the Spirit this morning? Listen, if you hear the voice of the Spirit this morning, don't put it off. Because the Bible does say at some point it becomes too late. I don't know when that point is. Move while you have time. Let's just take a moment, be quiet before the Lord. I want you to search your heart as Brian just plays. I want you to search your heart and begin to cry out to the Lord. And then I'm going to pray with you. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, I want you to do that right where you are. Let's just have a moment and search your heart. Let's pray. And the believers in the room begin to pray. If there's anyone in here who doesn't know the Lord, begin to pray that God will move their heart, that today would be the day. And let's pray. Decided you want to do that. You want to give your life to the Lord. If there's any of you that have done that, here's what I want you to do. First of all, let me tell you the gospel very simply and very plainly again. It's very easy. The Bible says that God sent his only son into the earth to die. Now, there's a reason he did that. It's not just a religious thing. Here's why he did it. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says, and they fell, and mankind is now separated from God in heaven. So God said, I don't want man to be eternally separated. I'm going to make a way so they can come back to heaven with me. So when I die and resurrect and take that title deed in heaven, they can be there rejoicing with me and live forever with me in the kingdom of God. That's why I did it. So the Bible says Jesus came to the earth and he went to the cross. He came here to die. That's why he came. And he went to the cross and he let them nail him to that cross. He could have stopped it at any moment. And he spilled his blood out. And then the Bible says he resurrected 3 days later so that we could be saved from our sin. A lot of times I hear people say, Pastor Mark, saved from what? I'm doing fine. What do you mean be saved? Saved from sin. The Bible says you're born in sin, separate from God. There's nothing you can do about it by your own power. It's got to be done through the cross. And so if you believe that, I want you to pray a prayer that acknowledges the cross, that asks forgiveness, and asks the Lord to come into your heart. Let's pray that together right now. If that's your heart, I want you to pray this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross. And I believe that you rose again the third day for me. And because of that, Lord, I give my life to you right now. Be my Lord and be my Savior. The Bible says if you've done that, you're born again. And that you're going to be with us in the kingdom of God. And I just encourage us as believers, again, even for those that have now given your life to the Lord, I encourage us as believers, listen, some of you have those bowls in heaven that have not had very much in them recently. Begin to pray, even now, this very day, that God would fill your bowl up and God would answer those prayers and God would move on your behalf for those that you love and those that you care about. And so that we could see the move of God in a new and fresh way, not just in Calvary Chapel, but in our nation. We need to have the bowls before heaven. So Lord, even now as we pray, God, fill up the bowls of heaven. Hear us, Lord. God, send revival to this land. Send revival to this nation. And Lord, glorify your name once again through this people, Lord, that has honored you throughout our history. God, glorify your name. And we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you again for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. And Father, for any that gave their life to the Lord this morning, Father, we thank you for them. And we pray that we would leave here, God, rejoicing not only in what you've done for us now, but what you're going to do for us throughout eternity. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.